Today on Real Life Radio.
You and I will stand before God, says Job, in our flesh. It's just going to be changed. Why? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 15:50 that this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to be changed. It's the last act of redemption.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, let me tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. A lot of us long for a deeper relationship with God. Packer really helps us to understand that once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. So pick up your copy of Knowing God for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled The Resurrection Factor. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 20, we'll consider the hope of resurrection. You see, there's a universal fear of death. Life after death is a question that looms in the back of our minds no matter who we are. Luke tells us that what Jesus is about to do on the cross will be an act that provides eternal life to all those who will receive it from him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we are sinners saved by grace, and no matter what we do can clean us up or prepare us for eternity. Now with his message called The Resurrection Factor, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts 17:30, the Bible says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commends all men everywhere to repent. Change the way you think. That's what that word means, metanoia. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this, to all, by raising him from the dead. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we'll hear you again on this matter. And the word mocked there in the book of Acts is amazing. They heard about the good news that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And listen, an honest person will say, wow, what an incredible announcement. We can beat the grave through Jesus. Some people mocked. And here's the reason why I pulled this verse out for you. The word mock in Greek means to stick out the lip. They went. They mocked. It's ridiculous. Why would they mock such great news? Why would you make fun of such great news? Because you know what? It's what I've heard many times before. The gospel's too good to be true. They stuck out the lip and they mocked the message of resurrection, yet it's something that every one of us wants in our lives, and the peace of it and the assurance of it. It's amazing. In Romans 6, verse 5, the Bible says, for we have been planted together in the likeness of Jesus' death, and we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, that's not your grandpa or your dad, that's your flesh, your old person. Know this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should no longer serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I love that. You guys, mark that verse down. Every one of you who are Christians, you need that verse. It's Romans 6, verses 5 through 7. Why? Because the person who is dead to sin is alive to God. Say, how does that happen? When you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit takes control of your life. My friends, listen, don't think for a moment you can clean your life up and come to God. He won't accept you because you can't do that. If you are a mugger, a prostitute, bank robber, liar, arrogant, I mean, whatever we are, we can't clean that up and then say, hey, God, accept me now. What you're really saying is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, move over. Now there's four of us. You can't do that to you. You come before God with all of the filth and all of the nasty thoughts and jealousies and envies and all that stuff that goes on in the human, and you say, God, have mercy on me. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. Forgive me my sins. Look at me, God. And God says, okay, calm down. You got it. I who knew no sin, became sin for you, that you might receive the righteousness of God that is available through me by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's why when we get to heaven, we're going to walk around saying, I can't believe I'm here. And I'm going to say, I can't believe you're here. And you're going to say, Jack, I can't believe that you're here either. And we're going to walk around forever saying, can you believe it? It's awesome. Can you believe it? We are sinners saved by the grace of God. You say, oh, I don't like the way you're talking. It kind of sounds like you're encouraging people to go out and sin. Nope, because when the Spirit of God moves into your life, all that changes in the way that you live, for real. Don't think for a moment, because somebody says they're a Christian, that they're a Christian. Don't be duped anymore. If somebody, listen, pretend that person can't talk. Let's just say they're mute. And they hold up a sign. I'm a Christian. Then you hold up a sign back and say, I'm going to watch you for 30 days and I'll tell you if you're a Christian for real. That's true Christianity. It should happen and be a witness without a word. You ought to be able to move into my house and find out, listen, am I sinless? Nope. But you should be able to move into my house and 30 days conclude, this guy loves the Lord. He's a bonehead, but he loves the Lord. We need to understand the gospel. It's not cleaning ourselves up and coming to him. It's coming to him just as we are in that song that you sing. I come just as I am. God does the work. And it's an ultimate victory over the grave because Jesus shattered the power of the grave. Also this, it's reconstruction. What is resurrection? Well, it's not reincarnation. Yeah, but Oprah said that. I don't care what Oprah says. It's not resuscitation. Jesus was not buried in the tomb and then somehow revived. I feel better now. And the cool, damp, rejuvenating powers of the tomb. And no, he was dead. And he rose again because of resurrection. We do not believe in reincarnation. That's Eastern mysticism. We believe in resurrection because the Bible teaches it. Get a load of this. This is, I tell you, your homework today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You read that, you'll have a lot of fun. But this is part of it right here. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go there with the skin that you have arranged as it is. It needs to be reconstructed. The very same skin, mind you. Somebody asked me first service, but what about reincarnation? What about, no, you know when you burn somebody? Cremation. What about cremation? I said, what about it? I said, well, before I ask you, answer your question, let me ask you, what about a shark eating you out in the ocean? What? I said, what if you're Joe Christian and you're out there and you get swallowed by a shark? What's God going to do? Oh my gosh, he got swallowed by a shark. What am I going to do about resurrection? I don't know what to do. The shark digests you with its acids in its tummy, and you go out, and you're just wet dust. You're shark potty, but you're wet dust. It's the same thing as a Christian who loves the Lord getting burned at the stake for their faith in Jesus. Cremation, burning, destruction, crushing, shark attacking, none of that thwarts the works of God. Oh no, what are we gonna do? Listen, dust we are and dust we shall return. The awesome thing is resurrection is God's the one who assembles all the dust particles. Imagine that. Did you donate something to somebody? You know, I donated my kidney to my brother, and your brother flies to Bangkok and winds up dying of old age. Where will my kidney be in the resurrection? In the long line of kidneys, God knows exactly whose kidney belongs to who and will resurrect that kidney in the end. Well, what is it? Does it have to happen? Oh, let me tell you something. If it doesn't happen in absolute resurrection, then we ain't got a Bible and we don't have a God, because our God is a resurrection God. Amen. It's amazing. It's incredible. You and I will stand before God, says Job, in our flesh. It's just going to be changed. Why? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 15:50 that this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to be changed. It's the last act of redemption. These bodies are going to be changed. In fact, he goes on to say, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That should be on the nursery over there in the nursery building. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. They're changing your kids right now. They may not be sleeping, but they're being changed. We may not all die. Why? What does the Bible say we may not all die? Because we could get caught today in the rapture. Oh, man, that would be awesome. Well, why is that such a big deal? Because you don't have to die. And I'm all for that. He says that we will be changed in a moment. By the way, the word change is metamorphosis. We will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet of God, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. And we who are alive shall be changed in that instant. That's going to be awesome. I hope I'm doing a funeral that day. And now we lay to rest, Brother Mike. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, man, he's up. He's gone. We are spiritual creatures. You guys, it is amazing. This is a regathering of our bodily existence. God assembles it for heaven. It's reconstruction. Think of the current condition that you and I are in right now. We're Christians. We're growing in the grace of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know more about God today than you did last year? Yeah. Okay, well, then how much more do you weigh? Have you learned a lot about God? Yep. How much pounds did you gain? See, what are you, nuts? Put the thing up on the screen. What is that? A jump drive or whatever, right? You're going to store data on there. You go down to Staples and you buy it. How much does it weigh? Maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. But it's very light. Let's just say an ounce. You bring it home and you plug it into your computer and you download all of your data onto that thing right there. Now it's full. In fact, it says full. What's full? Its memory's full. You unplug it and you set it on a scale. How much more does it weigh? Why? Because what was put on it was information. It doesn't change the physical structure just yet of it at all. What happens is everything important has been put on that. What about a computer? You take a computer, you buy a computer, it weighs 4 pounds. It's absolutely dumb, by the way, until you get it home, right? And you get it home and you download all your music on there. You get your iTunes on there. You got your iPhoto. You got your iWhatever. You got all this stuff on there. And it's got all this data, so much so that it says, hey, be careful. You're starting to fill me up. Okay? Does it weigh 6 pounds now that you put all the data on it? Same weight. Why? Because what's on it or inside of it is spiritual. Can I use that word? You can't touch it. You can look at it. You can see evidence of it. But you can't weigh it. You can't feel it. You can see the evidence of it. Next slide. Disc. The disc weighs the same the day you bought it as the day that it says, I'm full. Disc is full. Well, then how much more does it weigh? What's my point? Look at you. You're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. How wonderful is this of our God? You're becoming more like Christ from the inside out. The last thing to become like Christ is this body of ours. In fact, I'm going to say something. Act like you like it because I made it up. The more that we consume, spend time with God, in obedience to God, in the Word of God, what is of God in the life of the believer, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to take you from glory to glory until the Scripture says, Christ be formed in you. I think as we ingest the things of God, eventually, ultimately, it's what God has put in us that begins to come out. That's why people who knew you before you knew Jesus and now they know you now, they say things like, you're different. What's with you? You know what they're saying? They're confessing without even knowing about it. Hey, all that data that's inside of you is starting to come out. Why? Because we are spiritual creations. And God is going to resurrect by reconstructing us. The very molecular arrangement of your body in resurrection will be changed and fit for heaven. That's a fun science to think about.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here it is. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. How cool is that? We're like a jump drive. We're like a computer. All the good stuff's on the inside. That's been deposited by God. Point number two this morning, verses 34 to 36. When will the resurrection happen? Now, we can only spend a little bit of time on this because we could spend days on it, to be honest with you. Verses 34 to 37, or 36, Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. People in this world, watch this, they've got to get married and propagate. They have babies. That's one of the issues the guys are making. The guy needs to carry on his name. Jesus says, in this world, getting married and having babies is the way that it is. Why? Because the human race must continue. That's what he's saying. No problem. But, verse 35, those who are counted worthy to attain that age, that is the age to come, and the resurrection from the dead, they don't marry nor are they given away in marriage. And they can't die anymore either. But they're equal. They're like angels in this sense, because angels don't die. Once created, they don't die. Listen, I'll give you the fine print here in a moment, but every one of you, of every human being of all time, check this out. Once we're created, the Bible's very clear, every human being will not only live forever, every human being will be resurrected. Say, what are you talking about? Yeah, non-believers too, it says. Did you know that? The Bible says that non-believers will be resurrected unto an eternal death. Death, that stinks. Dying, but never being dead? That's called hell. Some will be resurrected to eternal life, the scripture says, some to eternal damnation. Every human will be resurrected. The question is, what side of the resurrection are you going to be on? The Jesus side or I didn't want Jesus side? Trust me, while you're breathing, don't pick that side. Don't be that crazy. What's going to happen? When will it be? Well, we know this concerning resurrection, when? That's a very technical question because we know in the Old Testament, for example, 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah, he raised from the dead the son of the widow at Zarephath, raised her son from the dead. That's in the Old Testament. Also in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, there's individual resurrection in the sense that at the widow at the village of Nain in Israel, she had her child resurrected and restored back to her. It's nothing for God to raise the dead. This is a fun one. This is a very, very rare, hardly known passage of scripture. It's Matthew chapter 27. That's some more of your homework today. Matthew chapter 27, read the whole thing. It's very cool. Why? Because I call that group resurrection. So what is that group resurrection? I never heard that before. Well, here, check it out. It says there in Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus Christ was being crucified, it said that the ground shook. There was an earthquake at his crucifixion. When he said, Father, I commend my spirit into your hands. And the Bible says he released his spirit and he died. The ground shook. And the Bible says that tombs broke open in Jerusalem. And the dead came out of the tombs and walked into the city and were seen at times by up to 500 people at one time. Can you imagine? The ground shakes, Jesus is crucified, and about an hour later, you see Uncle Bill walking into town who had been dead for three years. This is amazing. Matthew 27. And then it goes on to say in the same chapter that when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, graves broke open again, and the dead, alive, walked into the city. That. You know, we go, well, I don't know that ever happened. But we paid 10 bucks to go watch some dumb movie show us things like that. It's incredible. It's awesome. So the resurrection, according to the Bible, happens in various stages. Well, I'm going to give you three that are most important to us. Number one, when will the resurrection happen? Get it down. Seconds before the rapture. But when's that going to happen? I don't know, but seconds before the rapture. Check it out. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's a believer's term. That's how they refer to one another. When a believer died in Jesus, they said, oh, yeah, sorry, your loved one's dead. They said, he fell asleep in Jesus. It's kind of sweet, isn't it? The body looks like it's sleeping. Concerning those who have died in Jesus, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. Their body's in the ground, but Uncle Bill's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord, that's the rapture, will by no means precede those who have died in Christ. what's going to happen. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, that's their bodies, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord. Notice the pathology. To meet the Lord in the air. And we will forever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Watch this, the rapture. Let's say it's today. You and I are walking along, and we're walking by a graveyard. Hey, man, that's a nice graveyard. And all of a sudden, can you imagine? What? I bet it's like this. Just like that. You don't want a vacation with us. That's what we do. Lisa and I were on vacation back east, and we saw a graveyard pulled over, and oh my gosh. Can you imagine walking along, and all of a sudden, man, and then you hear this incredible trumpet blast and the shout, the Lord. That's Lisa. We're going up together, trusting in the Lord there. That's back in Virginia. They got really nice old graveyards back there. And it takes place. The dead come out of the ground that trusted Christ. The dead come up, and then right before you realize it, what? This must be... We join up with them. When the Lord returns, he brings Uncle Bill with him. Uncle Bill gets united with his resurrected body. We who are living at that moment are changed instantly. That's cool. That's what I'm saying. Bring it on, Lord. And we meet them in the sky with the Lord forever. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. You can read about that later. Simply, Jesus said, Schwarzenegger thinks he made it up. Jesus said it first, I'll be back. Jesus said in John 14, I'm coming back and I'm going to get you. It's amazing. It's awesome. The rapture. Secondly, the second coming. At the end of the tribulation period, Christ returns with all believers that trusted in him in the church age. He comes with them, the Bible tells us. And here is the resurrection. Listen to this. Mark it if you need to. Those who died for Jesus after the rapture took place, John said, there will be a number so great coming out of the great tribulation, having trusted Christ, that nobody will be able to count them. A number so great during that 7-year tribulation period of time. In fact, it's Revelation 20, verse 4. I'll read it to you in a second. When Jesus returns in the second coming, there's another resurrection, and it's the resurrection of those who died for Christ during that period of time. It says, Revelation 20, verse 4, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who did not worship the beast or his image, and who did not receive the mark, 666, on their foreheads or on their hands, and they're resurrected in the second coming of Christ. I say, man, Pastor, what are you talking about? I heard that number before. Yeah, you're gonna hear it a lot more too as time goes on. Here's the thing. You wanna be a Christian today and live for Christ. And live for Christ until the day you die, or the day he comes for us.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Resurrection Factor. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here. I'm not sure if you've heard about the Real Life Network, but I think that if you check it out, you're gonna wind up loving it. It's something that we launched so that we are actually cancel-free. It's 100% video streaming on a platform that is just like Netflix or Hulu, except it's all Christian and conservative content, and it's 100% free. We've assembled some of the best Christian teachers, leaders, entertainers, all in one place. How do you sign up? You simply go to reallifenetwork.com and you're part of the family. Just simply go there, follow the prompt, and you'll be blessed. I'm telling you right now, the Real Life Network is the best thing coming at you now with conservative, strong, safe, biblical theology, and excellent character-building content. RealLifeNetwork.com. Listen, it's all free. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. Register for free today.
It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. For 50 years, J.I. Packer has been helping people realize the difference with his excellent book, Knowing God.
delving into the characteristics of a God who intimately knows his people and invites us to know him as well, this timeless masterpiece takes readers on a transformative journey, exploring the depths of God's character, his love, and his will for our lives. If you've ever wished for a deeper understanding of who God is and how to have a closer relationship with him, this book's for you.
This book walked me through, as a new believer, the things that I needed to know about hearing about the voice of God.
For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book in thanks for your generous donation. Your gift will be used to proclaim the truth of God's word to your community and the world, helping people move from knowing about God to knowing God for themselves. Knowing God by J.I. Packer can be yours for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.